T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. David Haw is the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune, writes the In the Wake of the News column, famed David Haw. Good morning, David. How are you? Good
morning, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Well, Yu Darvish didn't quite do as well. Uh-oh. He seemed unwell, and yet he got through four, and he's a starting specialist now, and that's nice to see. And they got him out of there in time to avoid that blow-up inning and ended up winning a game. And a couple of calls going their way in the fifth inning, let's be honest. But nonetheless, they end up winning a game, and it's great to see. And what do we make of you, Joe, saying that he's always going to err on protecting players and it was his decision? But this is another example of kind of having to be overly cautious and concerned with the new signee.
Well, you want to be fair, and I had this game on my computer while I was at the draft lottery and watching this. And for four innings, you know, I thought he looked sharper. I think that was encouraging. He did look like a guy that, you know, was familiar in terms of his stuff, in terms of being effective. But last night was about removing some concerns, and I think I don't think it did that. You know, if you believed going into that start that Yu Darvish was high maintenance, as we have talked about since his, you know, disabled list, and I think that you still believe he's high maintenance. Joe wants to us to believe the narrative that, you know, he wanted to go back into the game. This was a manager's decision. You have to take him at his word. But I don't think it removed the doubts. And so there's still some concerns there. These probably will go away. These probably will be questions that are answered. But it is a bit of unusual that he has had this thing with the fifth inning, that he's had so many situations in his young Cubs career that have raised questions about just, you know, how much you can believe in him. And it's unexpected, and it's not a story that's going to go away when you have something that happened last night. Cubs came back and won, or else if they had lost that game, you wonder what the reaction would have been to this whole sort of mystery surrounding this.
Is it safe to say, David, too, that it's not going to go away with one start? That would just have been the beginning of allaying fears if he got to the sixth or seventh inning and looked as good as he did in the first four, because that was more than acceptable. And you hear the problem is now, what, 2 of 7 starts, he couldn't get past the fifth inning. And on the other hand, you have Jose Quintana, the guy you gave up players for to get the young, controllable pitcher who's still in the prime at 30, not that young, but the guy that you thought was a missing piece moving forward, allowing you to spend money on another pitcher. And he's, what, 3 of 8 starts are quality starts. So, you know, you gets all the criticism, and meanwhile, the Q isn't exactly what you'd hope to be.
Not at all, Brian. You just want something to feel good about the Cubs' rotation. And the last two times out against the Braves, you haven't seen that. You know, Quintana was disappointing the other day. He was ticked off after the game, and he should have been. And people should be ticked off at what they've seen from him. You gave up a guy that could be a star in Chicago, in Eloy Jimenez, and then Dylan Cease for Quintana. And last year you saw why. You saw evidence of, you know, what you were hoping to get down the stretch. His last 10 starts last season were terrific. But he's got to be better. And Darvish as well. This team's sort of they've won 22 games. They won last night. There's a lot to like about the Cubs, absolutely. But you're not going to feel right about the Cubs until their starting pitching starts to behave and perform like you expect consistency from. And Yu Darvish is going to be a guy that he needs a quality start before you start to, you know, feel good about this process. And you didn't get that last night. You got 4 promising innings, but then a very, kind of a more mystery surrounding, you know, his removal. And moving forward, you know, it just puts more pressure on the next start, and it's only May. But, yeah, there's a lot riding on this because the starting pitching means so much to this team.
And you were there last night for the unlucky number seven. I don't think it seemed that unlucky. I will say that, you know, I know if they'd lost the coin flip, they would have moved up instead of down a spot. But nonetheless, you know, Elton Brand is there. Michael Reinsdorf's there. Jamie Gertz. Who knew that she's married to the billionaire that owns the Atlanta Hawks? Another
odd exchange after the draft lottery with her, Bully. It was
really
funny. I'm walking by, and I'm talking, and she's posing for pictures, and just happened to be, you're talking with Jamie Gertz. You know, can I spare a square? You know, I think she was there. It was one of the more bizarre things I've ever covered. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
You get there, and the people walking around, and there's this reception, and you're like, why are you here? What's actually happening here? Well, they're going to release the results of this lottery, and Jesse Jackson is there, and Rahm is there, and it's an event.
They had six
happening
players. Why would you bring players in? They're not picking them that night.
Yeah, and
they're not. And they're doing
interviews. And Rahm's like, there trying to get the draft back next year, the lottery next year.
And
right?
Michael Reinsdorf's shoes are kind of distracting everyone.
Whoa, yeah, like wear the shades because they were bright and they were gaudy, but they were not lucky.
And Joey Reinsdorf, Sox prospect, had to get back to Charlotte after.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what people were expecting, though. I mean, I think that there's – I understand the disappointment. I understand that everybody wanted to be in the top three. I also understand there was only an 18% chance of that happening.
Right.
Look, if there's an 18% chance of rain tomorrow, I'm not packing my umbrella. I mean, you the things that happened, you sort of expected to happen. They can get a very good player at seven. I think that you guys talked to Casey. It's been well established, their track record. And you know, Markkanen went seven last year. Lonzo Ball went second. Who would you rather have? You know, so I think we get a little bit, this is an NBA production. I think that to some degree you could argue the draft lottery just establishes the order of teams that may fire their general managers if they don't get these picks right next month. It was kind of a bizarre thing to cover. It was kind of fun because there were a lot of like odd things that happened and a lot of people watching going on. I don't know that I'd get too worked up about what happened last night.
You're about to get worked up.
Yeah, we're thinking bigger than this.
Yeah, we've got – listen, you want to hear the master plan?
Please.
Brian?
All right, so we take 22nd and 7, and you don't move up. You don't get up to 4 with the grid. You get on the phone with the Spurs.
Yep.
Say,
okay,
that's the starting point for the talks for Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
And, well, we need Lauri Markkanen. And Casey said they won't back off of that, but you talk him into Zach LaVine because you're not sure you want to pay him max money anyway.
Zach LaVine, $722 for Kawhi.
And then you get Kawhi
that's
here.
That's just the start.
In a sign and trade. So Kawhi gets his $219 million. He has to sign with the Spurs to get that. A year from now, he can be a free agent.
Now it gets good.
So now you get him here. With the Markkanen and Dunn, and by the way, a texter points out LeBron is really good friends with Kawhi. Does he want to go to Philadelphia?
Uh-huh.
And by the way, LeBron had nothing but nice things to say about Markkanen, who you wouldn't give up to the Spurs. So now you've got LeBron liking Kawhi and Markkanen,
Dunn, and campaign.
So now we got ourselves a team.
So Brian, you come back and they start drinking early again.
Yes.
So, why didn't you have that? You guys drink it early when I was there Monday.
Now you got something going.
It's creative.
Yeah.
It's creative.
See?
And there's going to be all sorts of conversations about trying to get Kawhi Leonard. And you're right.
And you know what? You get D Wade to have another meeting at the United Center and see if he wants to come back. What?
yeah, right. Because he definitely has one more year left in him, and maybe the Bulls can pay him $20 million again.
Well, peanut butter needs jelly, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of rumors about what to do and how to move up and who to get. I really think the Bulls are committed to staying put, and they're gonna get to. And I heard you talking about the Nico pick at the 22nd. That's a gift, guys. I mean, I understand that. The people are mad at Nico for playing well and the winning streak that he helped produce. He also played well enough to get them a first-round pick they didn't have. And you don't know what player could be available there. Maybe a rotation guy. Maybe somebody who who is a contributor down the stretch that gives you quality depth. I just don't see the Bulls making – there'll be a lot of conversation over the next month and a half or so, but I just don't see them moving out of that spot. And Kawhi Leonard's a guy that I don't know that the Spurs are really going to give up. I mean, look at this is a it's a much different from the Darvish situation, but these the questions about Kawhi Leonard's fit and his makeup and his commitment and all those things, but he's still one of the best two-way players in the league. I don't think you just get rid of those guys.
David, just another interesting topic of conversation. We've talked about the gambling stuff. You heard one owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, would have been Cubs owner, I believe. He says that franchise is now double in value. Did Jerry Richardson make an error by selling his franchise for $2.2 million? Before this really started, and should he try to get to a screeching halt? If the franchise is worth twice as much, and Jerry is selling that team for reasons that are not football related, but it would be kind of interesting to, if your franchise suddenly doubled in value, to try to get more money out of that deal.
Great question, but I think you just answered it. I think that he had to move for reasons unrelated to what happened to the, you know, the value of NFL teams in the marketplace in that regard. But I think if you were tempted to sell your NFL franchise, any one of the 32 or 31 other teams, you're waiting, because Mark Cuban's right. You know, this is a game changer, not only in the value of professional franchises, but how we talk about sports, how we interpret sports, how we view them, how we cover them. So Jerry Richardson probably erred, but he had to. You know, he was forced. His hand was forced because of, you know, the way he behaved. And I think that, you know, this is probably that's the exception to the rule. The rule now is going to be, if you were tempted, you know, any pro sports franchise, boy, you're gonna wait and see what this does to your value. Because there's money to be made, and it's going to change everything. You know, and I think that what this does, you know, if Illinois gets on board, the hope is that, you know, this is inevitable. This was a grasping the obvious. This is a nod to common sense, a recognition of reality. You don't necessarily have to embrace gambling, and I don't necessarily, but I think you see what's going on. You know, if Illinois can get on board, there's a lot of good that can be done with the revenue streams that are created if you manage it responsibly. So, this is a new day in sports.
We'll let you go, David, but just very quickly, does this mean the McCaskey ownership continues? I mean, we always have talked about the idea that the ownership may end after a certain generation because there's so many people involved. If the money doubles, I mean,
at least new turf.
They just got another reason to hold on to the team.
Yes.
They just got another big reason that somebody's going to argue in that boardroom when it comes up for discussion. Hey, should we sell the team? What are we going to do? What's our succession plan? You know, all these things. Somebody in that room is going to point to what just happened this week and say, look, every estimate, every study is that this value of this, you know, $2 billion enterprise just increased, you know.
If
how
Charlotte's
much?
$2 billion, Chicago
yeah.
would just be
2.5 yeah. to begin with on the average for NFL teams.
Right.
They don't have the building. I understand the difficulties, but, boy, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and there's a lot of people. There's a lot of hands out there. There's a lot of people involved and affected. And it's a family business, and I just
yep.
don't know that there's going to be a consensus to get rid of this team at this point, where you thought maybe a year ago when you're having this conversation the Bears might be inclined to sell. I think this changes the tenor of that conversation.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, guys.
That's our guy, David Hoff, from the Chicago Tribune, their fine columnist. You're listening to Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. So, you know, the connection between the NFL and gambling is a long-told story and fascinating one.
Long overdue.
The legend has it that Art Rooney, bought the Steelers after making hitting a trifecta with in New York at the race course, and his normal bookie was it Wellington Mara? It was one of the Maras, and he had been ill that day, so he didn't go. So he won the try off somebody else and used the money to buy the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's a hell of a trifecta.
Yeah, and there are, well, again, I don't think in those days it was that much money. I'm sure it was a good, healthy trifecta, but he was a horse player.
Sure.
And allegedly that's how he made the money that bankrolled their business. And the Rooney family owned some casinos. They had was there not a racetrack that they were in partnership with? And certainly the Maras, and you start talking about old-time NFL, George Halas got the team, was one of the guys in the Hupmobile franchise back in Canton, Ohio, when they put together the NFL, when they created it, and they sat on the fender of Hupmobiles as they talked about how they were going to put the league together. It's fascinating to look at the connection to gambling of so many of the people that are that ended up owning NFL teams, but that's obviously the most obvious one with the Rooneys and everything, and the idea that you have the Rooneys and you have the Maras and you have the Bidwells. The legend has it that the family, Stormy got Sportsman's Park, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah. The old
and his brother Bill
Chicago,
got
yeah.
the Arizona former Chicago Cardinals. That's how they split up things there.
Wow.
So, it's
one guy made a better deal than the other guy.
Well, I don't know where that money ended up going from. I don't know what they did with all that money, but clearly the football team has done pretty well. I'm trying to think, is there anybody else outside the Bidwells and the McCaskies that don't have a lot of, that are pretty much a family business, that rely on football as the family business? Again, Steve Tisch bought half the team of the Giants, and the Maras have spread out into other areas. And certainly we know that the Rooneys, as I said, have a lot of different concerns. I'm just curious if you agree with this idea that perhaps the legalized gambling makes the Bears more valuable as a franchise. It wasn't that long ago that you had all the concussion stuff coming down, and there was this idea that, sell high. NFL franchises aren't going to be worth what they used to be. Now with the legalization of gambling, and again, we're going to talk to Napoleon Harris in a little bit here about what the state of Illinois is going to do. He has a proposal for legalized sports wagering. We'll talk to him about how many proposals are there, Brian? There's a couple different ideas, I believe.
The three or four, at least.
Yeah.
I think one, the state senator who represents Rockford is tying his into, he's been desperate to get a casino in Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other question is, okay, Napoleon Harris, former Northwestern Wildcat defensive star, who's now a state senator, has been for years, he says, no, this has to be a standalone bill. You can't start muddying the waters with all these other different interests, but people are going to do it because the Rockford has been desperate. Other communities want a casino, thinking that's a panacea for whatever they need in a depressed area.
Sure.
The horse racing industry wants to revisit slot machines, which is they've been lobbying for years and years now. So, talk to
It would be, it would be great if the rule in New Jersey is casinos and either current or former racetracks. So that would be huge for for the racing industry in Illinois if that were to work out.
They would probably rather have slot machines, because more people play. That's what Vegas, their main revenue stream in the casino are the slot machines, because that's where the money stays usually.
And not just slot machines, Brian. I read this the other day. They had a list of the whole breakdown. It was like the month or a quarter maybe of the breakdown. The penny slots.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even close. It was like quadruple. You could have taken like craps and blackjack and roulette, put them together, and penny slots made them more money than those games.
Because that's kind of a misnomer, though, because right. it does say 1 cent on the slot machine, but you can play like
you got to play max play credit like in order
20
to get
cents, right?
100 payoffs. A buck and a half, like you 150 lines or whatever it is.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're now each roll or each push of the button or pull of the arm is
$1.50.
Yeah,
boom, times.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, it makes sense. But
I was shocked by that, though, to see penny slots. And I'm talking.
Yeah, that's hard
like
to believe.
More than all those other games combined.
Let's get out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Adam is on the road. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Molly, you're like me. You're a big fan of the EPL and European soccer and know that they've had sports betting on teams for years.
Yep.
They sponsor individual teams. I mean, it's an adjustment for America, but in reality, how different can this be, you know, a few years down the line?
It's a good point. I've been to plenty of games, not recently, so I don't know how the technology has gone, but certainly back in the day, we would go in and there's a kiosk right inside the stadium, and you would go and you bet like who's scoring the first goal, who's scoring the first goal of the second half. You know, obviously you bet the result of the game, but a lot of the gimmick bets were really a lot of fun to have.
And now there's in-game wagering too.
Oh, well now it's gotten to a point where, you can sit at home with your television. It's all done through your TV. And this has been going on in England for a long time. Where you bet, as the game goes on, the odds change, and you can bet in real time. You know, if you feel like a team's going to make a move in the second half, you can after a possession, a team scores, but you still like the other team. You can jump on it. Now you can cash.
You get them as an under.
You're constantly. It is like it's like the stock market. The numbers are ticking, and you can jump in and out when you want. And it is it's unbelievable. And I think. That's to answer your question, Adam. I think that's where it's going to end up. And I think, let me ask something. Supposedly, the people in Atlantic City, Joe, went ahead and met with the commissioner of the NFL, and he was saying, they're using this idea of integrity of the sport, and it's our property, and they asked, what are you willing to give us? And the response was, we'll give you exactly the same what you get from Vegas. Which is nothing.
Yep.
So maybe their way, the idea that they'd get a percentage of this might be a really big stretch here. I know what they want, but maybe they'll have to settle for what we're talking about, a kiosk in the stadium, the ability to charge some internet thing and to put something together where you would wager on. And Joe, I saw Paddy Power supposedly has bought FanDuel now. That happened overnight.
Wow. Yeah.
What was the price tag on that? How many billions?
Well, yeah, just about that database. I was laughing because Senator Lesniak out in New Jersey, he was up front on this with Chris Christie, and most people don't know his name. He got involved because a friend of his went to jail for placing a bet for another friend with a bookie. And so he's been fighting this, and he finally got Chris Christie to get involved. It took him a very long time. I heard him in an interview yesterday talking about this integrity fee, and he's like, the leagues are taking us to court again and again and again, and now they want us to pay them.
Yeah, the NFL was the lead dog on this. They lost.
Fighting
I think
it.
They
yeah.
lost six court cases, Joe, at the lower level before it got to the Supreme Court, and it was the NFL that was up front and center fighting them.
Yeah, Adam Silver is warming up to the idea the whole
way.
Adam Silver started advocating for it.
The NBA is outside this; they're a separate entity here. But it was the NFL leading other sports leagues that ended up delaying this to the point where again six minority or six lower court decisions went against them.
Lesniak. said yesterday, he said that the analogy is what the NFL and what the other leagues are trying to do. He said it's like Donald Trump demanding that Stormy Daniels pay him so he would keep the affair quiet. I mean,
wow. Whatever your politics, that's funny.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
7:41 on the score. You got Molly and Haley. Don't forget, we're going to qualify two listeners before we get out here at 9 a.m. for a chance to win $1,000. In just a minute, we're going to visit with State Senator Napoleon Harris. Yes, the former Wildcat great. We're going to talk legalized gambling. Is it coming to Illinois in sportsbook wagering? We'll talk to the senator right after Jill Erchek.
Thanks, Solid on the inbound side of the Eisenhower. Traffic sponsored by BP Gasoline. It's an hour and 15 in from 390 to the post office, 52 from Wolf Road. Eden's 25 in from Lake Cook. Kennedy, hour and 12. O'Hare on in, 45 from Montrose, 31 in the Express. And it looks like the Stevenson is jacked up to an hour and 20, 355 in, 1 hour from the Tri-State. Inbound side of the Ryan, 40 minutes right now. And if you're on 57, slowing into the Ryan, but southbound side right now, a crash right at Vollmer. It looks like that's taking out the left lane. All the tollways pretty busy. Eastbound Reagan, crash at 59. They're just pulling that off to the side. At BP, they believe a little brightness goes a long way. Stop in, fuel up, and take off on your next big or little adventure. BP, every day brighter. You're listening to 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Thank you so much. This segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get truly free credit score, free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download that app. Do it today. Credit Karma. Get knowing.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And we are delighted to welcome in the Democratic senator from the 15th District here in Illinois. Good morning, Napoleon. He's Napoleon Harris. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Star at Thornton and then to Northwestern and obviously the NFL. We remember you playing for the soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, among others, Minnesota and of course Kansas City at the end. What Napoleon? What when you think about sports gambling? Now you're on the forefront of this sports betting here in Illinois. It's a sensible thing because of the amount of money involved and because it's been going on illegally for just about ever. Now that the Supreme Court gave its decision on New Jersey's challenge to the federal law, what should we be doing and how quickly can it be done?
Well, I think we need to make sure that we have the right legislation in place to make sure that we capture the dollars that's being spent anyway. You know, this is something that's been done, like you said, since the beginning of sports, but it's been done illegally. Now this is an opportunity to legitimize it or legalize it for the state to capture the revenue.
No,
and I think it's something that can happen quicker than most people think, because when you think about it, the lottery, that's a form of gambling. The state has the lottery in place. We have casinos. We have horse racing. We have off-track betting. I mean, so the gambling protocol is already in place, and the gaming board has a method in which they go out to review and get licensing for that. We just have to get a system in place for sports to accept sports betting here in the state.
Could it get done as quickly as this session, or do you have to wait till the fall?
I mean, you would like to think you can, but I think there's a lot of things that go into making that decision and a lot of rulemaking processes. And I think when you talk about 2 weeks left in the session, I think you have to continue to negotiate over the next couple of weeks before we get out of here. I don't know if it's just enough time to really get it done in the next 2 weeks, but I think that we can get it done by the end of the year.
You know, what's interesting about it, Napoleon, is obviously that this has been going on in New Jersey. The court case has been going on for a while, and they are going to be up and running with sports betting by Memorial Day, which is like 2 weeks away, less than that. And we know that there are 11 states currently considering it, including Indiana. And then you got a bunch of other states that are trying to enact some sort of legislation. If Indiana gets up and running before Illinois, then people are just going to go to, and you know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. It is happening. And there needs to be kind of almost a priority to get to it before, you know, people are going across state lines to do it.
I would agree that there's definitely, as I say, a pep in the step. You know, you don't want to be the last person coming on board, but I think it's more important to get it right just to be the first person out. I'd rather be last and right than being first and wrong. I think you can learn a lot from other people's mistakes and what they do to make your law a little bit better. But I definitely feel that we need to pick up the pace in regards to getting it out there, because I do agree that the person that gets it first, you want to, people like comfort, and we all are creatures of habit. So if you're accustomed to going to Indiana to doing it, that may be something that you may want to continue. And I think that we need to give Illinois a choice here first to be able to partake in this new legislation that's here.
And states can do whatever they want. They can tailor this legislation however they want to do it. And you could exclude, say, gambling on college games. And from your perspective, and I knew you as NAPO when I covered you at Northwestern, but I'll call you Senator Napoleon Harris. Did that bother you that people were wagering on your games? Were you cognizant of how much money was being wagered? And this all goes to the conversation, too. Should college athletes, student athletes be paid in the revenue sports? And if the NCAA ultimately gets a cut of the money nationwide, should the players receive some of that and get some compensation?
Well, I've been very vocal about college athletes getting paid. You know, I was one of the kids who come from an underprivileged neighborhood and background, but yet on Saturday afternoons, I saw a lot of number 8 jerseys in the stands at Northwestern. Mm. We go on the road, and I didn't get a dime for that. I play NCAA football, saw my likeness. It just so happens that the number 8 guy for Northwestern was 6'3", 250 pounds, and had all these attributes and speed and this and this and that. I said, wow, that guy looks a lot like me. I don't recall getting a royalty check from NCAA football. Hmm. I believe that if you're going to have a situation where gambling is legal, which it is because of the Supreme Court ruling, and if the NCAA is going to receive a pot of money from that, I think the players should be able to enjoy some of the fruits of their labor. At the end of the day, whether they like it or not, it is a partnership. It's a partnership between the players and the association in which they play for, whether that's NCAA and the college players, or whether that's the professional sports franchises and their players. It's a partnership because the leagues are not successful without the players' work, and vice versa. They're not successful without the owners' input, as well as the NCAA's input and structure. So I think they have to strike a great balance in getting those players some retribution through contributions. And whether that's paying players or whether it's taking the cut, giving them an additional stipend, that conversation has to be had.
It's interesting because your bill, bill number 3432 on sports wagering in Illinois, includes a 1% integrity fee for the sporting organizations. We were discussing this. Vegas doesn't give them any sporting, integrity fee. Why do they deserve an integrity fee? And will that be a holdup in any way around the country, in your opinion?
Well, I think, like you said before, each state has the ability to put what they want in the bill, in their particular state's bill. I think ultimately it comes down to it's a negotiating tool. It's something that's going to be used in negotiation. Whether the fee stays that fee or whether it gets changed to something else is yet to be decided. And each state's going to make their decision on what they deem necessary. The owners believe that the integrity fee will give them more tools in order to go out and make sure that the game is policed properly. And that comes with resources. You're going to need more manpower to make sure that games are not fixed or that people are playing by the rules. Now, are they doing those things now? I believe so. But with the process of making it legal around the country, you're going to probably need more people joining in those efforts to make sure that the integrity of the game is upheld. I understand that Vegas don't do anything now, but you know, it's a new ball game when you legalize it for all 50 states. So it's just something to explore.
He's Napoleon Harris, the Illinois State Senator from the 15th District. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on The Score.
And Napoleon, we have a number of texts come in during our conversation saying Illinois will screw this up. And that's perception that Springfield can't get anything done, certainly in a timely fashion or in a positive fashion. And, you know, the question here is that, you know, how do you respond to that? That, you know, you mentioned the lottery. And the Tribune has documented a lot of issues with the management of the lottery, and we're selling scratch-off tickets that don't have jackpot prizes available anymore. And so the infrastructure we might lean on to put this up and running as quickly as possible might have its own issues. How do you respond to the critics that Illinois won't get this done in the right fashion and in a fast fashion?
Well, I can only argue that when the lottery was done, I wasn't the one carrying the bill.
Right, sure.
I'm very capable. Yeah. I think I have a little insight on sports in general because I play sports at a high level at every level, you know, grammar school, junior high school, college, as well as professional. So I think I do have an understanding of the mentality of a professional athlete because I was once that. And my time in the General Assembly has gotten me to understand the political process in which things get done. And I think when you have that combination of the political experience along with the professional experience, it gives me a little leg up, I will say, in how to negotiate with varying parties.
Well, you know, we look at this thing and we talk about the percentage of tax, and it's a pretty high percentage of tax when you consider what other states are doing. And again, it's about Illinois. Where do you see the money going? Where would all, I mean, how much revenue could this bring in and where would it go?
Well, revenue, well, we know from the latest reports that gambling, well, sports betting potentially is a $150 billion, you know, industry nationally or globally, whatever you call it. I think in the state of Illinois, potentially this could bring in some of the lower estimates have said $100 to $200 million,
wow,
dollars annually. I like to think it's probably more so closer to $500 million that potentially this could bring in. I know there's going to be a lot of more data or reports being conjured up in the next couple of weeks, months, and years, getting you real numbers, especially when it becomes lies. But to your question, when you say where does the money go, I mean, there's a lot of woes that we have here in the state of Illinois fiscally.
Yep.
When you talk about the backlog of bills, when you talk about high rising pension costs, when you talk about education, when you talk about roads and bridges and capital projects, when you talk about education, there's a myriad of things that this money can go to, and I think it's going to be up to the discretion of the Appropriations Committee and whoever the governor is over the years and years to come to make the proper appropriations along with the consent of the General Assembly to make sure that the money is appropriated to our priorities here at the state of Illinois.
Napoleon, thanks a ton. Really interesting and fascinating to watch. And you know, the amount of money you're talking about there, that's staggering. That would really be a great assist to the state. Again, people fear it's, you know, regressive tax on the poor but it's happening everywhere. And, you know, obviously with all advertising includes information for gambleholics and all that stuff. So hopefully it doesn't, you know, we don't want to become sin state. But again, if everyone's doing it around the country, there's a lot of need.
Yeah. And in response to that, you know, I tell people, they say, well, it's regressive tax or it's just, like you say, they talk about sin city or sin state.
Yeah.
I look at it, no one's forcing anybody to do it. It's a choice.
Right.
You know, people also many years were against legalization of alcohol. It's legal, and people know that it's legal, but everyone doesn't drink. You have a choice. So no one's saying that you have to go and gamble on sports, because the truth of the matter is, if you're not doing it now and you don't want to, you're probably not going to do it when it's legal.
Fair enough. Thank you, Napoleon. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Napoleon.
Day. That's great. That's a fun guy to talk to. This guy's been – it's interesting to hear him talk about being at Northwestern and knowing that people are wearing his jersey and knowing that his likeness is on those video games and all the rest of it. And it tells you a lot. I mean, again, I guess the 1% integrity fee would include college organizations. I don't know, man. I like the idea of sticking it to them and then making them kind of have something going on within their stadium to keep them happy.
And I would just say this, that, you know, God bless if there's $500 million annually that comes in the state coffers. But that's part of the state's problem. They always overestimate,
yes,
what the return, whether it's on pension funds. You're going to get,
well, he said minimum 200.
Right. But okay, Meanwhile, I just saw a story where every man, woman, and child right now would have to write an $11,000 check just to get to the pension funds balanced in the state, and that's from 2015. So every man, woman, and child, think about that. And the math, the 3% compounded annual raises in those pensions, you know, you can't keep up with it. That meter keeps ticking every single day. You would need about 100 of these bills generating that kind of money to keep up with the math. It's just not doable.
So as the father of three, am I five times that money?
I'll take – well.
I mean, if you put me in a corner, maybe I could gather up enough for myself. But I'm not dealing with my wife and kids, am I?
We'll put you on an installment plan.
Yeah. Then I'll be the state of Illinois. Right. Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.